Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Alrighty. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome everybody to our second episode of the 5 series, alhamdulillah. We're really, really happy that everyone is being able to be with us today. We're actually streaming from like multiple lenses here, right? We have like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, alhamdulillah. So we're actually streaming live from like multiple apps and locations. So welcome back to the 5 series. This is a series that we started back on Monday with the hopes of clarifying, with the hopes of being able to explain in a really, really eloquent way and a really beneficial way what the pillars of this religion of Islam really are. What does it mean to be a Muslim? What are the 5 pillars, right? Breaking it down so we not only are able to comprehend and implement it, but actually to understand it. What does it mean to actually understand what it's like to be a Muslim? And so this past Monday, we were talking first and foremost about the foundational question in all of religion, actually, not only Islam, but all of religion, and as a matter of fact, which is a question of who is God or what is God, right? And we were defining the term of the word God, or in Islam, we call God Allah. And we described him as one who is a sustainer. The word Rabb in Arabic means one who sustains, one who nourishes. And he doesn't need a sustainer or a nourisher himself. Rather, he sustains and nourishes others. And without his nourishment and his sustainership, we would actually not be who we are. Which leads us to a really, really amazing type of topic today, which is the topic of what are Allah's names and attributes, right? So we have this entire realm of Islam, of Islamic sciences of understanding that talks about the meaning of Allah's names, okay, Asma. And, you know, we talk a little bit about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing I actually want to kind of throw out there as a question to everybody is, you know, the idea of names, okay? What does the concept of names mean to you? Okay, so I'll actually type it out here. Let's see. All right. Turn on comments. What do names mean to you? Post. All right, I'm going to pin this for everybody, inshallah. So, what does names mean? What do names mean to you? What do names mean to people, right? Are names something that we're just called coincidentally? Are names something that we just use as means of identification of people? Or do names mean more than what we actually think? Are there deeper meanings to the names that we're called than just a form of identification for us, right? My name is Safi. You know, is there more to the name Safi rather than just, you know, me, this 27-year-old human being that lives in the city of Dallas, Texas, right? Who's a youth director, who's a husband, who is a person who, you know, lives here, or it's a person who, you know, likes playing basketball and football and tennis, right? So Luqman says, what you know someone by. Anybody else, you can chime in at any point whatsoever you want to. What's the meaning of names? How do you, what's the significance of names? What does a name mean to you, right? So if you guys want to, on the comment section on Instagram and also on other platforms, you can just type in your own answer to what does a name mean to you? Is it just something we're called, or is there more meaning to it? Okay, so when we talk about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are a couple of things that we need to keep in mind as believers. Number one is that God's names are also referred to as attributes. Okay, this is why you have in Islam this concept called asma wa sifat. Asma means names, and sifat means descriptions and attributes. Like, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not just names, they're actually also attributes. And this is actually something that's interesting here, because in human terminology or in human understanding, names and attributes are not always together, right? For example, if somebody's name, for example, you know, my name's Safi. Safi means pure, something that's pure, right? I may not be a pure human being, right? Like I might be like this gross like guy who comes back from playing basketball, I just don't shower, right? I'm not saying I do that, just bear with me here for an example's purpose, right? Or for example, a person whose name is, you know, a person whose name is, it means generous, right? A person's name, what that means generous. And that person may not be generous themselves, right? That person may not be generous themselves. So for example, I'll give you a really good example. If a person's name is Sakina, the word Sakina means like peace, okay? The word Sakina literally means peace and serenity. And what if there's a Sakina who's like really, really like, you know, super strong, strong character, really gets emotional about things. And when they think about Sakina, she actually may not be the embodiment of peace, all right? That's the human element of names, right? We may not always live up to the names that we are called, but the really amazing thing is that Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah the greatest, He is literally everything that He is called, right? So if you call Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahman. He is the most merciful. If you call Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Al-Malik, He is the king. If you call Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala As-Salam, He is the peaceful, right? So the difference between our names and the names of Allah is that our names sometimes are just names, and the names of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala are not only His names but also His attributes and His descriptions, okay? And so there is, you know, and this is kind of like, you know, the defining difference between human names and the names of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that God is not like anything else. Okay, God is not like anything else. And there's actually a lot of authors who wrote about this, that that, you know, when we have names, you know, when it comes to our names, that our names are always similar to something else, right? So whenever you explain like a concept that we know in today's terminology, right? Say for example, you explain a sort of animal, right? You're like, oh, that animal kind of looks like a horse, okay? Like that animal right there kind of resembles a horse, okay? And this is actually something that's really prevalent in Islamic tradition and in literature, right? When you're talking about like hadith, right? And people are describing certain animals or certain instances and you're describing creation, you oftentimes describe creation by almost like giving it an analogy or a definition in relation to another thing, right? So you're like, oh yeah, it kind of like, you know, that pasta kind of tastes like that, or that, you know, steak kind of tastes like this, or like, oh, turkey sort of tastes like chicken, but not really, right? Because we describe creation with the reference to other creation. When you describe Allah, there is nothing like Him. That's the difference. There's nothing like Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's the really cool thing that makes Allah who He is. That Allah is not like anything else. When you describe Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, you cannot be like, oh, Allah is like this, or Allah is like that creation. A'udhu billah, He's not like anything. He's very, very unique in all of His characteristics, right? And so in the Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, again, like He describes Himself in Surah Ash-Shura, Allah, He says in the Quran, He says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Okay, in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11, Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, that there is nothing like Him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. Like literally, there is nothing you can compare to Him, you know? And in a world where we actually find a lot of solace in comparing things to others, because that's the only way we understand it, the challenge that we have, and this is actually a challenge, but at the same time, a beauty, is that when we talk about Allah, we don't have that, you know, that analogy to something else. And for some people, that's very difficult. And this is why a lot of people sometimes have a hard time internalizing the concept of God, is because we actually cannot understand Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to what He really is. But to the humble heart, that's okay. To the humble heart, that's okay. To a heart that's arrogant, we're like, oh, why shouldn't I be able to understand God, right? I should be able to understand everything that God is and everything that He stands for and all of His descriptions. Sometimes as human beings in our limited, finite minds, we may not be able to understand God completely because He is too great for us to understand. This is where humility kind of takes a place, right? And this is where humility plays a very, very significant role, that we believe Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. right? The word Ar-Rahman we'll actually talk about in a little bit. That when we say Allah is Ar-Rahman, He is completely merciful. There is nothing that cannot be encompassed by His mercy. He is forgiving of everything. Any mistake that you make, Allah has the ability to forgive. And sometimes we ask these questions like, how can Allah forgive if I made a mistake that's so great that it's unforgivable? Don't kind of bounce that off to Allah. That's your own shortcoming of being able to understand mercy, right? Because if we put ourselves in that place, we ask ourselves, man, if somebody committed that mistake and it was geared towards us, we would have an extremely hard time forgiving that person. But when it comes to God, He doesn't have that problem. Allah can forgive because Allah can forgive anything, right? Anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in terms of his reprimanding or his correcting our behavior is only for our betterment. You know, we don't forgive people out of pettiness, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not petty, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have that feeling in his heart of pettiness because he is Khaliq. He is the one that creates. And one who creates does not feel that way towards his creation. Allah only wants mercy upon the beings that He created, right? And so it says here, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing like Him and He is the all-hearing, okay? سَمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, He's the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So those are actually two of His names, سَمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that He sees everything and He hears everything. Sorry, he hears everything and He sees everything. This is actually an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And there's another beautiful point that the author here, he actually brings up in this beautiful book that describes the names and attributes of Allah, is that they say that the difference between God and creation is that God's attributes are constant and real. God's attributes are constant and real, okay? They're always constant. They're never stopping. So for example, if I say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam, He is constantly peaceful. He's constantly peaceful. There is no portion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that does not embody peace. You know, for us, if someone describes us as, oh my God, that guy's really, really nice, are there moments in which I will definitely fail in being a nice person as a human being? 100%. 100% there will be moments in my life where I may not embody the idea of peace, all right, or the idea of kindness. Sometimes I will slip up in my human tendencies of being a nice person. Am I generally a nice person? Sure. But when it comes to Allah, when Allah is the most forgiving, okay, He is Ghafoor. He is the one that forgives. There is no limitation to His forgiveness. And that's one thing that we as human beings have to really, really understand. And it's a really, really interesting thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to be a constant characteristic, unlike us who have limitations in our characteristics and attributes ourselves, right? And so let's talk a little bit about a couple of names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So a couple of the names of Allah, Ar-Rahman, and this is, you know, one of my favorites. One of my favorite names of God is Ar-Rahman. And this is something that you can actually find in the first chapter in the book of Allah, the first chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to the Lord of all the world, all the worlds, right? So Islam actually proves that there's multiple worlds. It's not only our world, but there's multiple of what we believe as worlds, right? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then the ayah in verse 3, in the third verse of the first chapter of the book of Allah, Allah says, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And sometimes, you know, when we go through, translations of the Quran, sometimes we get kind of confused. Like, what is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, right? Like those two words sound very similar. So is He the merciful and the merciful? Is He the all-merciful, the most, you know, like, what does it mean, right? Some people say that it's most benevolent, the most merciful, right? In reality, the word Ar-Rahman has a very beautiful meaning. Ar-Rahman means the one who continually showers all of creation with blessings, okay, and prosperity without any disparity. Meaning that Ar-Rahman is endless mercy. Ar-Rahman is endless mercy. And like I said, for us, mercy sometimes has limitations, okay? Mercy sometimes has limitations. For example, somebody wrongs me, right? They talk about me behind my back and they start spreading rumors about me. And I forgive them the first time. I say, hey, what's going on? Why'd you do that? Why'd you talk about me like that? Oh man, I'm really sorry. You know, it was like a spur of the moment type of thing. I got caught up with a bunch of people, bad company, you know, and word got around and I just got lost in the rhetoric, right? So, okay, khalas, you know what? No problem, inshallah. You know, I forgive you. Just don't try to do it next time, right? Next time comes around, guy makes the same mistake. I hear that he's been talking about me behind my back again. Go up to him and say, hey man, what's going on? I thought we had a conversation previously that, you know, you're not going to be talking about me behind my back like that again, right? I showed mercy to you the first time and I told you that, you know, like I'll forgive you as long as you don't do it again. So why'd you do it again? He says, oh man, I'm really sorry. Like I completely forgot. I will 100% for sure never ever talk about you behind your back again. Okay, fine, khalas, I'll forgive you again. Third time around, my man talks about me behind my back. I go up to him and I say, hey, this is the third time. What's going on here? I'm not going to forgive you this time. I'm going to hold you accountable for it, right? And I don't want to actually be friends with you anymore whatsoever. So my limitation of mercy has been reached. My limitation of mercy, of rahma, has been reached. Because I, as a human being, cannot continue to forgive and forgive and forgive because this person's harming me. We cannot harm Allah. We cannot harm God. God cannot be hurt and harmed by the things that we do. When we make mistakes and we sin, we actually harm ourselves. And so there is no limitation to the mercy that Allah has upon us. When we make a mistake, Allah forgives. We make the same mistake again, we ask Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah forgives again. We make the same mistake again, Allah forgives again. And then Allah tells us, well, if you fast the day of Arafah properly, sincerely, your deeds for the previous year and the upcoming year will be forgiven. If you fast on the day of Ashura, your deeds will be forgiven. If you fast on this day, your deeds will be forgiven. We make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to prove that His name is Ar-Rahman. It's continuous. It never stops. It literally never ends. And again, this is why sometimes people have a hard time grasping the concept of God, because it's literally not human. And finding human understanding sometimes gives us like comfort, because we can like relate to it, right? Like, oh yeah, 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 I get what that feels like because I've been through that same thing myself. But the first condition to understand Allah, who He is to humble yourself. Is to humble yourself. And to tell yourself that Allah is not like anything else you've ever experienced in your life. You know, in Surah Al-Ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that last ayah, He says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدْ, that there is no one like Him. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ, and to Him, كُفْوًا أَحَدْ, there is no equal. There is no equal. There's nothing like Him. He repeats it over and over again. So whatever you find in this life will not be found in Allah. Allah transcends whatever we know in this life. Mercy, kindness, generosity, peace, justice. It's another big thing. Justice, right? How can we, you know, like, and a big question that a lot of people have is, how is God all, you know, how is there a God if there is so much injustice that happens in this life? Very, very fundamental question. A lot of people ask this, right? How can there be a God if there is so much injustice, so much bad, so much evil going on in this life? But Islam tells us, who's to ever say that this life is just? Whoever promised you that this life was going to be perfect? When you were born, who came to you and said, hey, here's a contract, sign it. As long as you sign this contract, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Who ever did that? We all know in this life, things will not be just. This life is imperfect. This life is not completely 100%, you know, it's not complete, because this life is not the end. The end is the hereafter. And Allah continues to teach us that. So Ar-Rahman is a part of that, okay? There's a beautiful hadith about the name Ar-Rahman for Allah. And this is found in Bukhari, where the Prophet says that Allah has divided mercy into 100 parts. Allah has divided His mercy into 100 parts, okay? and he retained with him 99 parts and sent down to the earth one part of his 100 pieces of mercy. Okay, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world, he sent down to the world 1/100th of his mercy. And so everyone naturally asked the question, where is the other 99 pieces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy? And the hadith answers it. The Prophet ﷺ says, through this one part, creatures deal with one another with compassion, so much so that an animal lifts its hoof over its young lest it should hurt it. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ is saying that this mercy that Allah has given, the 1% of mercy Allah has given to this earth, is so vast that it is the part of the mercy where a mother animal lifts its hoof up so it doesn't hurt the young animal underneath it. That's how much mercy Allah has given to this earth with 1% of his mercy. So where's the other 99? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it said that Allah reserves that rest of the 99% of his mercy for the day of judgment. Allah reserves the rest of the 99% of his mercy to be on the day of judgment. That's it. That's it, man. Can you imagine? Like 1% of Allah's mercy is here on earth with us. The rest of it is waiting for us in day of judgment. When we go up to Allah and we say, Ya Allah, I spent my life doing a lot of different things. I struggle with a lot of different things, Ya Allah. I'm not proud of all the decisions that I've made in my life. I'm not really happy with some of the deeds that I have committed in my life. Sometimes I messed up. Sometimes I made terrible choices. But Allah, I know that you have the mercy to forgive me for all of the things that I couldn't even forgive myself for. And then Allah will bring out his 99 parts of mercy for us on the day of judgment. That's Rahman. Okay. Then the next name that we want to cover is Al-Malik. Al-Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called Al-Malik in the Quran. Why is he called Al-Malik? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. He says, so exalted is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ, that he is the sovereign. Al-Malik, he is the true king. Malik al-Haqqu, he is the only true king. And why is he the only true king? We actually talked about this yesterday. That, you know, when we have descriptions of others in this world, all of those descriptions have limitations, right? Even if you're a king, you still answer to somebody, right? You're a king of this land. There's no one who's the lord of this world, right? And on earth. There is nobody on earth who rules this earth. Nobody, right? You have presidents of certain countries. You have governors of certain cities. You have kings of certain kind of areas. You have rulers of certain, you know, general tribes and people. But there's no one person who's in charge of this world. So when Allah is Malikin Nas, right, he is the king of everything, okay? And this is what the Quran says, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ. مَلِكُ الْحَقُّ is a very key word that I want everyone to understand, or a key phrase. مَلِكُ الْحَقُّ. He is the true king. He is the true king. He is the only one that has the ability to say, I am the king of everything and I answer to no one. I'm the king of everything and I answer to no one. That's Allah. That's the God that I worship. That's the God that I want to worship. And a lot of people, they ask, you know, if God really is God, then, you know, is there something that God cannot even do, right? God, for me personally, transcends all this, the bounds of, like, you know, space and time and all these different things. You know, God to me is far, far beyond all of that. God created time. Allah created space. Allah created the earth. Allah created all these different things. These concepts that we know of, right, are things that Allah created, right? عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا عَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ, right? It's the verse in the Quran, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا عَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ, that Allah gave you everything that you know. Allah taught you everything that you know. And isn't it shameful that some of us, in the limited knowledge that we have, and the limited knowledge that we have, we turn around and we say, how can Allah be great? Man, it sends chills down my spine. it sends literal chills down my spine when people challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, even though Allah gave us this small little bit of brain to think. And we use that small little bit of brain to work against Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How sad is that, right? How sad is that? And so, you know, this particular name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it says here that it has close ties with the idea of Him being absolute and everlasting. You know, this idea of Malik is completely everlasting. La ilaha illa huwa rabbul arshil kareem. There is no deity worthy of worship except Him. He is the ultimate king. And then the last name that we want to cover today is the name Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, that means the mighty. He is completely the mighty. He is mighty. He is the greatest of all time, right? Like the GOAT, we call it, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this meaning has a couple of meanings. I want you guys to all kind of follow along with me here. So Al-Aziz, the first main meaning of Al-Aziz is to be mighty and powerful. It's to be mighty and to be powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz. He is mighty and He's powerful. Those two things combined together, okay? Another meaning of Al-Aziz is to be noble and elevated. He's noble and elevated. Al-Aziz, you're dignified. You're honorable. You're noble. You're elevated. You have extremely high standards. That's what Al-Aziz means, okay? That's number two. Number three is meaning that He's invincible. Nothing can destroy Him. Right? We are very, very, you know, we have a timestamp on our lives, you know, and this is sometimes things that drive people insane, right? That, you know, one day I will die. And that's very unsettling for certain people that, you know, don't believe in anything after this life, is that after this life is over, after the you know, my time has come, time for me to be buried, my life is done. And some people, wallahi, they lose it thinking about that. They lose it. Like, I cannot imagine me being nothing. Okay, but obviously as Muslims, we know that our life continues on in the hereafter. There's some solace in that, right? There's a little bit of peace in that, understanding that your life doesn't just end with this life. Your life actually continues on to the hereafter, which is a very beautiful thing. Okay, and so with Allah, though, He's invincible. That's the third definition. The fourth definition is that He is rare, extremely unique, rare, very hard to come by. There's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so what's really amazing here is that I want to point this out. And this is actually a verse in the Quran that kind of talks a little bit about the name Al-Aziz. Allah says in the Quran about Himself, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. And indeed, your Lord is exalted in might and merciful. And I want to point something out very specific about that verse in the Quran. Allah says, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. What is the word Aziz coupled with, y'all? Anybody on Instagram and Facebook, what did I just say? Al-Azizur Rahim. What's it coupled with? Azizur Rahim. I'll pause here for a second. Give everybody a second to think. What is the word Aziz coupled with here? Allah says Azizur Rahim. What does the word Rahim mean, y'all? Anybody? Sounds very similar to Rahman, right? What does that mean? So we know Aziz means mighty, great, right? Invincible. But what does Rahim mean, y'all? Anyone? Let's see what people think. I know there's like a lag on like Instagram and Facebook comments and TikTok comments and stuff like that. So we'll wait a second for everyone to be able to chime in here. What does Rahim mean? Exactly. Very good. Rahim means merciful. So when Allah says, "Wa inna rabbaka lahu al-azizur rahim," He's saying, I'm almighty, I am mighty, I am invincible, but don't get it twisted. I'm the most merciful as well. Because some people, when they hear Aziz, they're like, whoa, my God, right? Like, you're too great. You're too great. Why would you care about me? You're so great, Allah. God is so mighty. God is so powerful. How could He ever care about me, right? And we talked about this on Monday. That, you know, this is another human trait, y'all, by the way, right? When we become, you know, we get a little bit of that ego in us, you know, we think we're a little bit of that and a little bit of this, and we don't have time for the fine details in life anymore, right? When we become people who are like, you know, mashallah, right? Successful, right? You really made it. When you get there, people say, man, that dude is not the same anymore. Man, that guy's not the same anymore. He doesn't ever talk to me anymore. He thinks he's too good for me now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ, that your Lord indeed, he is exalted in might, and at the same time, he's merciful. How beautiful is that? Allah reminds us in the Quran that never, ever, ever get it twisted, that my mercy will always accompany my greatness. Just as how great I am in my being, as being Allah, I am just as great in my mercy. Okay, and this is really beautiful. The author here, he says, Al-Aziz always comes with either Allah's names, Al-Hakim or Ar-Rahim. Because some people might interpret Al-Aziz to simply be that he's so powerful, he's so unattainable. But Aziz is always tempered by wisdom and mercy. Aziz is always tempered by wisdom and by mercy. And this is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is, y'all. And so I'll give you guys a couple of, you know, small little tidbits to take home today. Number one, okay, number one, and I want everyone to think about this, is that understand the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also his attributes, right? What makes Allah's name special is that Allah's names are also his descriptions. Asma wa sifat. It's not just asma, it's asma wa sifat. It's his names and his attributes. Everything that he's called, he lives up to it. And this is actually a lesson for us, by the way, as like normal, you know, beings. We're human beings, right? We have human tendencies. But something that we can take a lesson from Allah is, do we live up to our names? What's your name, right? Muhammad, Khadija, Maryam, right? Noor, you know, Abdurrahman, right? Sulaiman, Zaid, right? What's your name? Think about it. Think about it for a second. What's my name? What does my name mean? I think everyone should actually go and look up what their name means. If you don't know what your name means, you should go look it up. You should go look it up. You should go ask somebody, what does my name mean? And once you look up your name and what it means and what's defined by, ask yourself, man, like, am I living up to my name? Because names in Islam are just not things that we're called. It's things that we should live up to. We're named those things for a reason. We're named those things because, you know, we want to have that honor of being named, right? And even if your name doesn't really have a meaning, right? Your name is like John, or your name is like Tim, right? Your name is like, you know, Yusuf. By the way, Yusuf, by the way, doesn't really have like an Arabic meaning. Yusuf is not an Arabic name, by the way. That's really interesting because we're like, wait a second, like a bunch of Arabs are, I know our name Yusuf. Yusuf is actually not an Arabic name. But even with that, you have a beauty in your name. Even if your name is that, right? You are named after a prophet of God, man. You are named after somebody who was amazing. You were named by your grandmother who was an amazing person. You were named by your father who was a great person. Live up to that name, man. Live up to that name. Your name is Khadija. You were the first convert to Islam with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your name was Aisha. Man, you were one of the most amazing, amazing companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? MashaAllah, Ayman, beautiful name. Ayat, very beautiful, right? Like all these names are really beautiful. So if you actually want, drop your name down here in the comment section, drop your name down. What's your name, right? Ask, like, be like, my name is this. Actually, I want you guys to do this exercise as we end class today. Drop your name and define what your name means if you know it, right? So if your name is something, tell us your name and tell us what it means, because we want to know, right? Because names are beautiful, right? So understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also an embodiment of his names and his attributes. Number two is when making dua, use Allah's names to increase the beauty of your dua. Use Allah's names to increase the beauty of your dua. When you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, Ya Ghafoor. Ya Ghafoor, you are the forgiving, so forgive me. Right? Ya Allah, you are Rahman, so have mercy upon me. Oh Allah, you are Salam, so have peace upon me. Ya Allah, you are Al-Malik, so treat me the way that I you know, want to be treated, Ya Allah. You are Al-Malik, you are the true king. Oh Allah, you are the most kind, so be kind towards me, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are the one who constantly envelops people in his love. So love me, Ya Allah. Beautiful, right? Very, very beautiful, all right? And so that's something we should remember. And the last thing is here is imagine if Allah's names were not his attributes. And this is a little bit of a food for thought. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything that he has named. But imagine for a second. Imagine for a second. And this is the beauty of Allah. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be beloved to everybody. Because Allah is what he is. Allah is who he is. Allah is what he says he is. But imagine for a second, you know, when people always say that, like, you only realize how good of a thing that you had when it's gone, right? Like, you only understand how good of a thing that you had when it leaves you, okay? So imagine for a second, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billah, was not all of his names and attributes, right? Imagine that. Would we have any chance in getting into paradise? Would we have any chance in having our deeds speak for themselves without having Allah's mercy envelop those deeds? Would we ever have a chance to do anything in this life if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being who he was? Can you imagine, right? So a little bit of a food for thought for us to leave with until Monday, our next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. All right, guys. So we'll wrap up with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be enveloped in his mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who get to know him better through his names and his attributes. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being who he is. We thank Allah azza wa jal for being al-malik, for being al-aziz, for being al-rahman, for being al-quddus, for being as-salam, for being ghafur. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being everything that he is named and for embodying everything that he really is called. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being our Lord and our Creator. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to gather here today in this beautiful gathering. May Allah reward you. May Allah accept from you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be together again on Monday, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I hope everyone is enjoying the sessions that we're doing live. Obviously, we're streaming literally on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. So we're all actually streaming on like multiple streams here. And we really love being accessible for everybody. We want to make sure that Roots programming is available for anyone on any platform. And we want to make sure we all share in the khair, is what I say. We all share in the khair, meaning like we all share in the goodness. And we all share in whatever's good for us. And may Allah accept from us. And may Allah forgive us for all of our shortcomings and our mistakes. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.